Take your Bibles this morning, Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. The writer of the Gospel of Luke traveled with the Apostle Paul on many occasions. He was Paul's personal physician. Luke was also a historian and a prolific writer. He penned the third Gospel and happens to be the longest of the four Gospels. 1,151 verses in that. And the beginning of chapter 1, of Luke chapter 1, he states the purpose of his writing. He says, to write, in order that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Accordingly, he begins with miraculous details surrounding the birth of two miraculous young men, who were born. Number one of the miraculous things is that the angel came and told Zacharias that he was going to have a baby boy. Years ago, when my three boys were born, we didn't know if they were going to have boys or girls. In fact, the first boy that we had, I know, was going to be a girl, because my mother had five sisters, and that was it. And I had three sisters, and I was the only boy, and there's no way that I'd ever have a baby boy. Never. No way. In fact, my wife was in labor for about 8 hours, and it was at the change of the guard, you might say. All the doctors had come in, and many of them went into the room that my wife was going to have that baby, and I was a little concerned, and all of a sudden, a nurse walked by, and I said, has Mrs. Shear had her baby yet? And said, yes, she had a boy. And I said, I can't believe it. She said, I don't really care if you do or not. And she walked on. Well, that's a blessing, amen. Well, you talk about people that have bedside manners, amen. And I went, I can't believe that. I don't care if you believe it or not. She walked right on, amen. So anyway, we had our first boy. And then on October 31st, the next year, 13 months later, we had our second boy. And, we had it in a little country hospital, and so the nurses were a lot more kinder, and I was a pastor then, amen. They got to be nice to preachers, you know. And they said we had a baby boy, and that was exciting, amen. I called my daddy, and he says, you know, son, that's wonderful. And then 3 years later, we had another boy. And I happened to be in there that time. That was the breakthrough. You could go in and see the baby being born. Some of you folks said, you can't believe it. You never, no, that it was a breakthrough. It was a big deal. And anyway, guess what? He was a boy. And I called my dad and I said, Dad, I said, I'm carrying on the Shear name. Three boys. He said, son, three boys in 5 years. Isn't that a little ridiculous? But anyway, I guess that's why we stopped. But anyway, that was a miracle back in those days to know whether it would be a boy or a girl. And according, he begins this miraculous detail surrounding the birth of two remarkable boys, John, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And by the way, a lot of people don't understand this. Everybody thinks John the Baptist is an old codger, old preacher, you know, gray hair and all. No. He was 6 months older than Jesus Christ. Only 6 months older than Jesus Christ. And we also know that Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior of all mankind, was born also. And Dr. Luke was very meticulous on how he wrote those things. Why? Because he said, I want you to know the certainty of those things. And being a physician, being a doctor, doctors are very, very careful and calculated. And I'm sure Curtis is glad about that, amen. And Brother Tucker's glad about that. They're very meticulous about how they do and write things and keep records of those things. Here's another thing to think about this morning. Have you ever noticed how saints and singing go together? You know, when you got Jesus in your heart, you got something to sing about. Amen. Boy, I was thinking about this beautiful duet this morning, and listening to those little strings vibrate as they put their fingers on the right places and drew that bow back and forth. Amen. Boy, just beautiful. Nancy and Fern and Mr. Ortiz played for us this morning, and the girls singing today. That's just part of us. That my wife many times wakes up in the morning singing, amen. And I haven't got it yet. But anyway, she gets up singing. She sings. She can sing every song there is in the book, it seems like. And it's wonderful to hear her sing. Amen. So it's hard for people to congregate, God's people to congregate, without spontaneous enjoying the atmosphere of praise and thanksgiving and worship that the music provides. I thank God for Heritage Baptist Church. That's good music. And that we glorify our Heavenly Father in that. The Apostle Paul wrote that one of the two marks of the Spirit-filled person is speaking in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, Ephesians chapter 5, 19. Even if you can't sing, my mom used to say that that sounds like the tune the old cow died on, you know. Some people said the only singer they have in their home is their sewing machine, amen. And some people talk about I won't go into that, but anyway, even if you can't carry a tune, I guess you can still speak for the majestic praises of God within your heart. And a man ought to sing, ought to praise God for all he's done for us. I want you this morning especially to look at the trip of Mary. Mary made a trip. Elizabeth was with child. You remember the angel came into the temple as her husband Zacchaeus was in there doing the temple work. And he came and said, you're going to have a baby. And Elizabeth was called the barren. That was her nickname, the barren. She had no child. She was destitute. Her and her husband had prayed for years that they'd have a child. That was a big thing. Carry on their name. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verse 36, and behold, the cousin Elizabeth, this is the angel speaking now to the Mary, she hath also conceived a son. I'm interested when it says also, because the Bible says that the angel came and said, the Holy Spirit is going to come overshadow you and give you the seed of Jesus, the Messiah, the Yeshua Yamashiach. And I'm going to, he's going to overshadow you. And so now, it's just a couple verses now. And behold, cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And in this 6 months with her, who was called, read it, barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. I'm glad about that verse. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now look, verse 39 of chapter 1. And Mary did what? Arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste. I love those things. I would tell my boys in the morning, I want you to get up. And I want you to make haste. Don't we all want our kids to do that, amen? Or our husband, or our wife, whatever. Into the city of Judah. And entered in the house of Zacharias. And she saluted Elizabeth. You see, having heard the news from the angel from heaven, Mary set out on a 4 to 5 day journey south of Nazareth. And Elizabeth and Zacharias' place was supposed to be near Hebron. My wife and I had the privilege in 1995 to go to Israel. And one of those things I remember how that we went by Hebron. And we were allowed to go into that city. And pretty neat. And a trip like that would involve a journey of some, as the crows fly, 80 miles. And the last 20 miles through some very treacherous, rugged hill country. It's just rock. It's just sand and rock over there in that area. Quite a feat for a young maiden to find the means of performing that journey, wouldn't you say? It involved attendance and protection without telling the reason why she was going to go. That's kind of difficult. This amazing trip shows that Mary had some kind of a spirit of character that inspired confidence. Thank God for young ladies that have that kind of spirit in them. Amen. It is quite interesting if you trace the map, the route this Jewish maiden must have taken going down to the plain of Esdraelon from Nazareth, then southward. In fact, it's probably the same path that they took when they went ordinary to the holy city at the solemn annual feast of the Passover. So it was not a place it was not a trip that she had not been before. And if you know cousins like I know cousins, you're at least once in a while you're going to get a cousin's house, amen. And you're going to spend some time with them, amen. So this was not, I'm sure this was not a questionable guidance that you need GPS to get there, amen. I'm sure she could do it that well. But her mind was in a strange new frame of feeling. She now carries the seed of God that the Holy Spirit implanted in her womb. She is with child. And that baby is the holy seed of God, the creator of the universe of heaven and everything that pertained to it. And I want you to keep that in mind. She walked through some very familiar localities that are so crowded with and crowned with history and devout reminiscences of her nation annals. Under these present circumstances, I am sure that this trip made her imagination and impression go wild, far succeed any trip that she ever made to the holy city of Jerusalem or go to her cousin's place by Hebron. I want you to pay close attention to her thoughts. Pay close attention to her thoughts. For this will give you help when you listen to the song that she sings as she meets her cousin Elizabeth. Up from the shadows of western hills of Nazareth, she came into full view of the whole country. We're in Nazareth. You can just see it. And you can Jerusalem, everything goes up to Jerusalem. Everything goes up to Jerusalem. If you're going to come to Jerusalem, you're going to go up. From the south, from the Dead Sea, you're going to come up. From the north, you're going to come up. So when she was in Nazareth heading to Jerusalem, there was panoramic view of this magnificent part of their nation. Looking across Mount Carmel. That reminds me of something that happened at Mount Carmel. You remember Elijah and Ahab? And how that Elijah defied the priest of Baal and killed 450 of them. Remember the fire came from heaven and not only licked up the sacrifice, but it also licked up all the water, the barrels of water that he brought. Then she heads up through the Valley of Megiddo. By the way, there's going to be a war there. The Bible says in Revelation that the blood in the Valley of Megiddo is going to be as high as the bridles of on a horse. It is an amazing thing when you look out from Mount Carmel and there that Valley of Megiddo is an incredible thing. It's a valley. Kalispell, the valley in the Kalispell area, you see those valleys up in Bozeman, the valley, you see those valleys. They say that the Megiddo is probably the greatest place to war in the world. In fact, it has been one of the greatest places of war, but she went through that. Then she went through Jezreel. You remember where Ahab sinned and took the garden? You remember that? Then she went to the brook Kezron, which Deborah sang after Sisera was slain. You remember, she took the tent peg and drove it through the king's head. Before long, she arrives at Shechem, and it seems to hear the old burden of cursing and blessing echoing from Ebal and Gerizim. Perhaps she paused for a moment at Joseph's graves. Perhaps she sat and rested and quenched her thirst at Jacob's well. My wife and I were at Jacob's well. And my wife drank some of that. I said, don't drink, don't. She said, I'm drinking it. I don't care if I get sick. I'm going to have a drink of Jacob's well. I said, woman, don't do that. And just like that, she had, probably why she had her trouble 4.5 years ago. I don't know. Perhaps she sat down and quenched her thirst at Jacob's well. A little further up, remember now she's going down, but a little further up, she, typographically, she's heading up to Jerusalem, actually going south. She'll reach Jerusalem. The Bible calls Jerusalem beautiful on the sides of the north. She gets a glimpse of the temple, probably shining in the noonday sun. Yonder she sees the demented Bethlehem, where she would have to pass, and she would have to come again. Bethlehem is not a huge place. It's a small place. My favorite, my wife's favorite place, Bethlehem, where we went down in the church of the Nativity. We're not sure that's exactly where it was, but hey, we knew Jesus was born, amen. He had to be born around there someplace because it was in Bethlehem. Bethlehem, which is beautiful, but it's just a little country city. There her eyes must have roamed over the green fields where David tended to his father's flocks and caught the starry figures of the 8th and the 19th Psalm as he wrote. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. While she lingered on such a spot, she would think of Ruth returning with Naomi and bidding Orpha, her sister-in-law, farewell, the Moabites. Yeah, that's where it was. That's where it was Bethlehem. Now she must climb the hard hills which are before her so that they could reach the cave of Machpelah and discover the small houses of Hebron in the distance. Of this we have no details. Of course, it's only supposition. But we do know that he went to Elizabeth's house. But I think it will aid us to keep in mind how she might have went thinking all the way to her destination. We meet Mary first in the story in the presence of Elizabeth, dwelling perhaps almost underneath the shade of Abraham's oak in Mamre. Many think that this city was where Zacharias lived, and it was Hebron, before called Kadesh Abarim in Joshua 14:15. For that was the city of the mountainous part of Judah, one of the cities of refuge belonging to the priests. Joshua chapter 20, verse 7. You can study that later. This is a special joy and significance that these two women have so much to share. Can you imagine? I don't know about you, but I love being around family and getting together with the cousins. How many have a cousin? You know what? Those cousins know more about us than even our brothers and sisters know sometimes. Yeah. Yeah. Something about being with cousins. I had a sad note about a month ago. My cousin Clyde passed away. And he's a little bit younger than I am. Died of cancer. And my cousin Diana, who probably my favorite cousin, red-headed, crazy little girl, funniest thing I ever met in my life, old Diana Hewlett, and we spent some pretty special times together, laughing and giggling all the way through school went together. But there's something about Diana, just something about her. And when we get together, oh my goodness, all the funny things and that we talk about. And you remember when? You remember when? You remember when? And but can you imagine this? Those two ladies got together. Both of them have been touched by God. Both of them were willing to do what God wanted them to do. when Mary entered the home of Elizabeth with the good news of the Savior to be born and through her, it resulted in Elizabeth doing what? Praising God. Luke chapter 1 and verse 40, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass as when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe, John the Baptist, the babe, leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, and whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe in my womb leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believeth, and there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Secondly, Mary shared with Elizabeth the good news of the Savior to be born together, born through her, the result of the song. And this is what Mary sang. My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Let me pull over and park here. Mary is not the Savior. Jesus Christ is the Savior. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Verse 48, and he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation, that show strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their heart. Thirdly, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the host of heaven declared news in a son. Luke chapter 2, verse 13, if you look there. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and... what's the next word? All this time I thought they were singing. They were saying. I still think they sing. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill to men. Someone said, what do you want for Christmas? I want peace and goodwill towards men. But that's not what the Bible says is going to happen. We can bring peace to a man by telling them about Jesus Christ and telling the great Christmas story. I think this is probably the easiest time I have of going around and knocking on doors and seeing people and say, hey, are you ready for Christmas? Are you ready to receive the greatest gift that was ever given to mankind? Hey, can I ask you a personal question? Dad, today, would you go to heaven? Well, I'm not sure. Well, I want to tell you what Jesus Christ did for you. It's the greatest time. This is a miracle time of the world. People actually stop and open up doors for you. People say, how do you do? And people say, Merry Christmas. Some people say, Happy Holiday. And I say, same to you. Amen. But it's a Merry Christmas. Glory to God in the highest, and on peace, goodwill towards men. Do you feel like singing? You feel like speaking forth the praise of the Lord right now? If not, why don't you read aloud the Song of Mary again? Read aloud the Song of Elizabeth. If you go back closer to chapter 1, you can read the Song of Zechariah. Read it loud. Read the songs of the angels. Better yet, compose your own. And read it aloud. You see, praising God in song is never out of date. I think of that song, praise him, all ye little children. Boy, there's just so much songs out there that you can sing, glorify the Holy Spirit of God. How great thou art. How great thou art. There's just great songs out there you sing, and you ought to have that in your heart. I think a good way of when you're having your Bible time in the morning, or some people call it your devotion, your personal time, you ought to have a songbook with you. You know, we sell these songbooks for, what, $10 a piece. Don't take them home. We need them here. Amen. But if you want one, we can get you one, amen. If you say, oh, I don't have the money, well, I'll get you one, amen. But you ought to read a song once in a while and get you excited and get you thrilled at the fact that God loves you. God cares for you. Why should we be discouraged? The Bible says that God knows about the little sparrow that falls. Why should I be discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? And then it goes, his eye is on the sparrow. We ought to be so thrilled that God loves us. Amen. I hope that you have the Savior today. I hope that there's been a point in your life that you've asked Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and to come into your heart. He did this all for you. Won't you give him your heart at Christmas time this year? Father, I thank you for the promise of heaven. I thank you for the opportunity you've given us to bring forth the Word of God in such a way, and that we would be so thrilled to the fact that you love us and you're giving yourself for us. I love that scripture says that we love him because he first loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh on the Father but by me. Lord, I pray today you'd speak to our hearts. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed today, and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I have a home in heaven. I have not received the gift that God gave to all mankind. For the scripture says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You hear today and say, preacher, I'm not saved. Preacher, I'm not on my way to heaven, but I'd sure like to know that. Would you lift your hand right now and let me pray for you? I will not embarrass you. I promise you that. But if you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, I'd sure like to pray for you. I'd sure like to talk to you. Dear God, I pray you'd speak to our heart. Would you give us a song in our heart today that we'd be so thrilled to the fact that you gave your life for us to think. The holy God of heaven, the miraculous creator of this universe, came to this old blood, sweat, tear earth to die for us. God, how can we do less and give him our best? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. You're here today and you're not sure you're saved. You're not sure you have a home in heaven. Why don't you step out of that seat, walk down this aisle, let me show you how you can know for sure if you go to heaven. It's the greatest gift that mankind will ever know. Let's go. You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Boy, I'd sure like to know that. Why don't you come right now and give your heart to Jesus? You're today and you say, preacher, I've been saved, but I have not followed the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism. And I'd like to do that. Why don't you come at this time? You're today and you say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we belong. This is where we want to put our membership in. Why don't you come? Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the thoughts of that trip that Mary made down to her cousin Elizabeth's home. And oh my, what a miraculous time it must have been when they seen each other and hugged and kissed each other and were so thrilled, and then told their testimony, the things that were happening in their life, and how intimate and how amazing it must have been to glorify the Almighty God. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for Dr. Luke, who put it down so carefully in the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit breathed in him the words and showed him, and that he could write it down so it'd be in, so that we could see it for our own eyes. Lord, bless this time. Help us, Lord, to go forth as the mighty army telling others about you. And Lord, we love you. And help us, Lord, bring us back tonight to our services tonight at 6. May we have a wonderful time as we look into the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.